Thank you, Rachel and Cengiz. I think this is a really big question, and I really like the points that Cengiz just shared, which is to keep opportunities open. Actually, when I was invited to talk about this topic, I told my colleagues that I don't even have an answer myself because, like many other college students, I pretty much view my career as undefined, and I keep seeing new possibilities opening up in front of me. But first, let me explain how I got interested in journalism and also decided to study public policy along the way. I grew up in a small city in Fujian, and when I was a kid, I didn't have much chance to go out and explore the world by myself. So I learned about the world, you know, people outside of China, people in the past, basically by reading books and news articles. I had a few journalists who I really admired, and I decided, yeah, I'm going to be like them. And by the way, I'm pretty good at writing. I got some work published, and I enjoy dealing with people. So I'm confident that journalism is my thing. And I want to be a journalist who produces interesting stories and high-quality information, free of fluff, propaganda, PR, or sensationalization of any kind. But the world is not perfect, of course. By engaging in real-world media work, I realized that media is not as independent and influential as they might seem. Sometimes they are largely constrained by government regulations or pressure from its advertiser or investment or investors to maintain certain profits, which deviates them from doing the right thing. And as my resources multiplied, I see a bigger picture. I know there's more I can do. So I was thinking, instead of shaping people's opinion to influence public policy making, maybe I can do something that will shape policy directly, or to say, have a direct impact. So I took courses in public policy and development economics to learn about how to identify and address issues like poverty and gender discrimination. I had internship at UNDP China to see how an international organization carry out a project and measure its impact. When I was an exchange student at the United States, I found interest in ideas like solution journalism and entrepreneurial journalism, which basically view journalism as a tool for a certain cause instead of a cause itself. So that's why I plan to study more about public policy making in the future and maybe gain more knowledge to a specific development issue, just like Rachel does. I think we shouldn't limit ourselves at the very beginning of our career. Instead, as long as we remember where we started, we can adjust our career path in the way that it utilizes our skills and resources most efficiently to make the world a better place.
When did you start to pay attention to social issues? What is it that really excites you about working for a cause? What causes are you focusing on now?
Michelle, that was so well said, and Cengiz too. I totally agree with a lot of the points that you made. When I started to pay attention to social issues, probably in my religious education, as you all are probably aware, the U.S. is a pretty religious place as a generalization, so a lot of Americans have religious education growing up, and that's focused a lot on social justice and charity, or can be. And in high school, I wrote a research paper that I was encouraged by a teacher to write about women's representation or misrepresentation in the media, and particularly related to unrealistic body expectations and the eating disorders and like body insecurity that comes from that, and how severe it is, particularly for women. And so sexual assault is an example of a barrier that is so significant to women, more significant to women than to men, more significantly affects women, I should say, than men. And it is a real barrier to inequality because of the effects that it can have on your psyche. I mean, it's a trauma. So, I mean, it's really part of this larger conversation about how we provide women and men with an equal playing field for competition and, like, living in the States. So that's the cause I'm focusing on right now. I mean, as very broadly, just gender equality in the States, and then specifically combating rape and sexual assault on college campuses. However, so something specific about the technology that I didn't mention before is that there's a matching system. So when you, if you are a survivor and you fill out a report and say, in the U.S. you have Title IX coordinators, which is a law that requires universities or education settings to have a coordinator on campus that provides for, that makes sure the university is compliant with this gender equality law. It's usually thought of as making sure women have equal opportunity to participate in sports. The Obama administration, the administration specified that it also includes providing for survivors of sexual assault and rape on college campuses. So the software, the technology, if you fill out a report, if you're a survivor, you can say, only send my report to my Title IX coordinator, who would then be my advocate through the judicial system and the disciplinary system at the university. Only send my report to the Title IX coordinator if someone names the same perpetrator. Bad for my social group if I report this. Like, what if he's really a good guy? He just did this to me. You know, I mean, there are a lot of reasons, very valid reasons, to not report, but this sort of takes that away where you can be really sure that, you know, he's doing it to other people as well, and, or she, I should say, but mostly he's, and that you can feel better about protecting your community, because that's the number one reason students state for reporting sexual assault. That's the cause I'm focusing on now, and we're in 7 universities so far. We just signed Stanford as our 8th university, and about to announce another university later this month. So if you want to check out more about the organization, there's a great TED Talk by our founder. It's like a LADD, LADD. I'll put the link in the chat as well, and I'll link to our website so you can learn a little bit more about that. But this technology also has potential to be used by the military, by corporations, as a free national resource for survivors. So a lot of potential for this technology to really help in a cause that means a lot to a lot of women and would just solve a really big social problem that we're facing in the States and all over the world.
Thanks, Rachel, for sharing. That sounds so cool. I'm definitely going to check it out. From my end of things, I think I've been interested in social causes and causal change and social sector from the very beginning of my childhood. In fact, I do think, though, that having parents who really, really cared about these things and throughout their careers, they're both academics, try to incorporate an idea of how their careers, their publications, their speeches, their remarks would always impact the society at large, was detrimental to, I think, me understanding the value of the social causes at a very early age. And as slowly I started to make my own independent opinion of what the world of business is, what should be the ideal careers, and what should be the social sector, I came to the realization that, in fact, we need to, I guess, reorient our gaze and redefine our understanding of what the social sector and the social causes mean. Because ultimately, when you look at the core of business, what business used to be, in fact, when business was first invented, the idea was in exchange for some exchange value, like money or barter or anything, you are providing some good to the society and the people in the society to perform something and to receive something that they cannot receive by themselves. So it came with the specialization of labor, division of labor, and ultimately a better, more modern society where individuals were able to exchange their labors and exchange their products in exchange of a better life.
There are many people struggling for their lives out there, and I think it's natural for everyone to have some kind of altruism. But the point is how you really break it down into real actions. When I was a sophomore in Tsinghua, short-term volunteer teaching was popular among college students in China, and I had been a volunteer teacher for a few time and wrote articles on education disparities. But I started to realize that this is more about making us feel good than solving the real problems. And luckily, I got to know PIM and found myself fascinated by its ideas of strategic philanthropy, effective altruism, and mission-driven careers. Many of these ideas are relatively new in China.
What advice do you have for young people who want to prioritize meaning in their career, but maybe don't know where to start?
That's a great question. What advice would I have? So I think it sounds intuitive, but like do some self-reflection and think about what makes you tick. Like when you're chatting with your friends and talking about a social problem or an environmental problem or a solution to that, like when does your voice get louder and when do your friends like react and be like, oh yeah, like you're clearly really passionate about that problem or that solution or that particular nonprofit or cause. Also, some more practical advice, I think, that is a little easier to execute on. Well, I guess depending on how much self-reflection you want to do, but try to think and ask your friends about what you're good at. And think really strategically about this and where your skill set might fit in to this solution or solving this problem. Example is that, like I mentioned before, I really love communicating with people, with donors, about the impact of their gift and the strategicness of their philanthropy, for lack of a better word, but, you know, like what the impact, the very tangible, digestible impact of their gift will be for these students, these survivors, or whatever cause, if it's like clean water, you know, what is the impact that this gift will have and why can that donor feel good about it? That's what I really like because I like working with people and it's one of my strengths is communication. I'm also doing operations work now because I really like processes and designing systems to promote better efficiency within the organization. And I was hired to set us up for scale really rapidly because we're a very new startup. And so my skills in process identification and implementation will be really useful in this setting in getting this startup up and running.